This is Write with Impact, episode 48. My guest today is Pamela Wilson, Executive Vice President of Educational Content at Rainmaker Digital.
You know, I tell people you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time you sit down to create a piece of content. Work on having a system in place that makes it easy for you to like physically create your content, have a place where you write and have all your tools at hand and an environment that is conducive to writing. And it's not, you know, we're not all in a situation where we can do that for every piece of content, but as much as possible, set up an environment where writing is easy.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining me again. I'm Glenn Leibowitz, and I'm a writer who wants to help you become a better writer and build your audience. I'm very pleased to introduce my guest today, Pamela Wilson. Pamela is Executive Vice President of Educational Content at Rainmaker Digital. There she manages, among other things, their flagship website, Copyblogger, which is one of the most widely followed websites in the world where you can learn all you need to know about content marketing. Pamela is a longtime blogger for Copyblogger, and while she's written a lot of blog posts, she's yet to write a book. She's setting out to change that with her first book, which will be about content marketing, a topic she's a deep expert in and a topic that she's been blogging about for many years now. What's unusual and I think incredibly fascinating is the process she's going through as she writes her book. The first thing she's doing is she launched a podcast called Zero to Book earlier this year with Jeff Goins, the best-selling author and blogger, where she discusses the process she's going through as she writes and self-publishes her first book. It's what I like to call a reality podcast, where Pamela and Jeff talk you through, in real time, the process of writing, publishing, and marketing a book. The other thing she's doing is she's sharing chapter drafts on her website and getting feedback from beta readers that she is then incorporating into her book. She calls it crowdsourced feedback and crowdsourced marketing, and it's turning out to be a powerful way to get free advice while building a tribe of potential readers and advocates of the book. In our conversation, Pamela shares why she decided to take this approach to writing and publishing her first book, how exactly she's doing it, and what she's learned so far. It's a fascinating story that I'm sure you'll enjoy. At the end of the conversation, Pamela also talks a little bit about why content marketing is such a powerful strategy for building authority and for building a business. You can find more information about Pamela with links to her websites over at writewithimpact.com/episode48. There you can also pick up an ebook with some of my writing strategies and jump on my newsletter so you can be the first to know when I've published a new article about writing or a new podcast episode. You can also check out my writing on LinkedIn and on Inc.com. If you head over to writewithimpact.com/LinkedIn or writewithimpact.com/Inc. That's I-N-C. All right, here's Pamela. So welcome to the show, Pamela.
I'm so happy to be here.
I'm really pleased you could join me on my podcast. Today, I'd love for you to share your advice for how a blogger can become an author. But before we get started, tell us a little bit about your story.
The funny thing about my story, Glenn, is that I never considered myself a writer at all. So my story was that I was more of a designer, really. I mean, I offered marketing services, but it was always kind of from the design angle. I was a publication designer and a marketing consultant, but what I mostly focused on was the visual aspect of campaigns. And when it came time to get copy written or material written that was going into a publication, I always subcontracted that to a writer because in my mind, I was not a writer. So that was the first, you know, almost 20 years of my career. I had my own business. I started that in 1992. So I've had that for a really long time at this point, almost 25 years. And I've been doing this for almost 30 years. So I have had a long career at this point. But really, only in the last 6 years have I attempted to write at all. Until 6 years ago, the longest piece of content that I wrote was like an email to a client, you know? So that has been a big change for me. And honestly, the book that I'm writing is kind of about that process of becoming a writer and the things that I learned along the way that helped my writing and made me more proficient, and got me to the point now that I'm, you know, I'm managing Copyblogger, which is one of the most important marketing blogs on planet Earth. You know,
it's
like unbelievable to me. I still pinch myself just thinking about how that happened. But so I'm writing about that transition of being a person who really did not believe she was capable of writing to getting to this point where I'm now teaching people how to write. I'm writing a book about writing, about becoming a better writer. And I love that process. I have always enjoyed teaching. So it's fun to be in a position where I can teach both within the Copyblogger community and on the blog and then in this book I'm writing.
Right. And what's really extraordinary is that, you know, so, you know, you've been blogging about content marketing for several years. And let's talk a little bit about the podcast that you're producing this year, that you launched this year. And it's something I like to call sort of a reality podcast. I don't know if that's the right term for it.
Maybe I've never heard it called that, but I love that. It's pretty accurate because we're really going through this process. So the podcast you're talking about is Zero to Book.
Right.
And I'm in the process of writing a book this year. And I reached out to people I knew who had written books successfully to ask them if they knew someone who I could work with, because I had been writing for a while at that point, you know, 4 or 5 years, but I'd never written a book, and it is quite different to put together a book, and we can talk about that. But, you know, putting together a book is quite different than the process of putting together, say, a blog post. It's just bigger in every way, right? And there is a lot more at stake. You're going to invest serious amounts of time and effort and money in putting together a book. So I wanted to get it right. And, you know, the best way you can do that is to reach out to people who have done it before you and just to see if you can get... I mostly just wanted someone I could ask questions of. So I was looking around asking people who I knew. And one of the people I asked was Jeff Goins. And Jeff is local to me. He's also in Nashville. I'm in Nashville as well. And I sent him this email and I said, I'm looking for someone who can kind of coach me through the process. I just need somebody who I can ask questions of occasionally. Do you know anyone? And he writes me back the shortest email that I received in 2015 and one of the best. And the content said, me. That was it. That was the whole reply. Do you know someone who can help me? Me. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that would be ideal. So we got on the phone and he said, and he's just so smart about marketing really and just seeing opportunities. He said, if we're going to do this, we should do this live and we should make it into a podcast, which totally blew my mind. I mean, I just hadn't thought about that angle at all. And he said, we'll make it into a podcast, we'll share it with our communities, and it will get people excited about your book before you've even put it out there. So that's what we've done. We developed this podcast. Luckily, I work for a company that has a podcast network called Rainmaker FM.
Sure.
We have a multimedia team who helps to process the audio. So it's been relatively easy, honestly, for the two of us because we just have to show up and record the process. And then we have a team that puts together the pages, you know, puts together the audio and then puts together the pages on the site and hosts it and does all of the stuff that makes podcasting time consuming, honestly. And it has been so much fun. And honestly, it has been a great process of learning for me, but very much learning out loud and being okay with sounding like the complete newbie that I am when it comes to writing a book, right?
Right.
But I think people have benefited from it. So it's been a really fun process.
No, it's great. It's a pleasure to listen to, and I highly recommend it. I've listened to, I think, just about every episode so far, and it's a combination. Some episodes are you and Jeff, and then when Jeff had a baby recently, you had some solo episodes, which were very nice. But the interplay between the two of you The way you, you know, the obvious chemistry is really, really nice, very natural. And I had the chance to speak to Jeff on my podcast last year, and he's become a friend, you know, over the past year, and he's just great on this topic. And so I highly recommend, and I'm going to drop a link, you know, in the show notes to this episode, highly recommend people head on over to iTunes and also to your website and subscribe to Zero to Book, and also leave a review on iTunes, by the way.
That would be great. Yeah. And the easiest way to find it, honestly, is to just go to zerotobook.fm.
Right.
And that will redirect right to the podcast.
Right. That's really, really great. So you ready?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about this.
So, Pamela, you are in charge, like you said, of, you know, one of the most widely read blogs on planet Earth, probably in the entire universe. Unless there's some bloggers out there and, you know, several light years away. But anyway, and you are in the process of writing your first book, and you're, you know, talking about the whole process on your podcast, and you're also, and you can talk about this, you're sharing the book on your website. So, you know, just share some of the, if you were to sort of, you know, break it down into a few steps that, you know, my listeners can follow and can learn from, you know, what has been the process, or what is the process that you're going through right now to become a published author?
For me, what was very helpful was to realize that there were things I could build on from my past experience, and then there were other things that I did just have to learn brand new that I didn't know anything about and I needed help with, and that's where I reached out to people I knew. But I think the biggest difference between writing a blog post and writing for a blog in general and then writing a book is that a book has some kind of an arc. It's a story that weaves through from the beginning to the end. And we don't always think about story when we think about nonfiction, which is what I'm writing. It's a nonfiction kind of a how-to book on content marketing. And we don't always think about story in terms of nonfiction. But you do have to have elements that you pull through the entire book. And this is something we don't have to think about in blog posts. I mean, you have to make the story weave in throughout 50,000 words. And that's very different than writing a 1,500-word article, right? So it's a different process. And I think you have to be a little bit prepared to kind of tackle those differences and manage them in a way that you end up with a product that is really great and does the job you want it to do. The other difference, I think, is when we write blog posts, we have to think about the blog post title. And that's important because it's what will get the click on the post. But when we write books, we have to think about the book title, and that is really a make it or break it piece of content. I mean, you know, whether or not someone picks up and commits to reading your book is very much dependent on how the book is titled. So that's something that's worth spending a lot of time on. I'm actually going to be testing book titles this week, and I'm going to spend some money on testing it so that I can make sure that I have a title that will help to sell the content. So that's a big difference too, just understanding that structural difference between writing a short piece and then writing something that has to have an arc that goes across a lot of words, a lot of chapters, and then titling it with a title that is so compelling that people will say, I want to spend money on this. I want to spend time and effort consuming it.
Right. You know, on your podcast, you, you know, talked about a couple of things that touched on this. One is one episode you and Jeff talked about coming up with an idea, a big idea. And that was a great episode. I'm wondering, you know, what is sort of the governing, you were talking about a story arc. What is the idea that runs through your book? What's the message you're trying to get across in this book?
The big message that I'm trying to get across is that great content marketing has an underlying structure. And in my book, I break down that structure into 7 parts. And I give people advice about how to tackle each piece of the overall piece of content, so each element. And what I tell them is basically all seven pieces have to work together and they all kind of depend on one another, and you really need to get them all right. So it's your headline, it's your first sentence, which sounds ridiculous, but I actually have a chapter dedicated to the first sentence of your piece of content. Because it does, once you hook someone in with a headline, you really need to pull them into your content and get them to commit to reading it. And that first sentence makes a big difference. So the first sentence, the introduction section, which is what I call the content that goes typically before like a more tag. So on a lot of sites, you'll have like a blog homepage, and it will show a headline and then a short excerpt from the beginning of the post. And that's what I'm calling the introduction section. And a lot of people look at that and they decide in that paragraph or two, am I going to click through and read the entire post? So it's a really important section as well, that introduction section. And then I have a chapter on subheads. I have a chapter on the call to action, the summary, which is typically toward the end. I have a chapter on, I just call it the chapter on the main content area. So it's, you know, how to get the actual post written and then edited and proofread so that it's your best quality. So it's, I break it into those component parts. And I think people have found that easier because, They just find it's easier to tackle when they're not trying to do it all at once, when they're just managing one thing at a time. And I also talk about tips that help make writing easier that I use all the time. For example, things like mind maps, like working out the structure of your post before you try to write it, which is basically what you and I learned in English class. They called it outlining, but
right.
I don't call it outlining because I think we all have like post-traumatic stress about having to outline for our English class.
So, especially with those Roman numerals.
Ah. Right? Roman numerals and letters and all that. That was always very stressful. But I find that doing the same basic thing but with a mind map makes it so much easier to write a piece of content because you work out the main ideas. You work out kind of a skeleton that you're going to hang your content on, right? And once you have that skeleton in place, filling in, you know, putting meat on the bones basically is much easier.
So what about the title? I know you've talked a lot about the title of your book, and I think, you know, one iteration, one version of the title had the word slacker in it, but I think after some discussion with Jeff, you've dropped that term. But I'm wondering, is that, you know, was that ultimately relevant to the idea you're trying to get across in this book? Is that, you know, because content has a structure, an underlying structure that you can follow, that it makes it easier to develop content? Or, you know, what, just tell us a little bit about that.
I love that concept. So the concept is basically, I started out with slacker and then it was lazy person. And, you know, there have been, I have put my book in front of an audience of people who've registered on my site. So that's bigbrandsystem.com/book-factory-join. And when you register on the site, you get access to the chapters as I'm posting them, and they're first draft. So they have, you know, errors in them. And but I think the basic information is good and people have enjoyed it. So I did put up this chapter where I was talking about lazy people and, you know, how lazy people were more efficient at creating content because they set up a system and they followed a system. And there were very passionate responses to that word on either side. So some people hated it with a passion, like, I don't want to be associated with the word lazy.
Right.
That is a total turnoff. And then there were other people that were like, you know, once you redefined it, I got it. And I think it's great, you know, and it really stood out in my mind. So I'm still working out how I'm going to fit this idea in it. I don't think it's going to be in the title.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, basically what I'm saying is it's not so much that you're a lazy person, it's that you have a lazy approach, which you can understand as an efficient approach to creating content. So, you know, I tell people you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time you sit down to create a piece of content. work on having a system in place that makes it easy for you to like physically create your content, have a place where you write and have all your tools at hand and an environment that is conducive to writing. And it's not, you know, we're not all in a situation where we can do that for every piece of content, but as much as possible, set up an environment where writing is easy. So right. That's part of it. But it's also this approach to content where you do map out what the structure of the content is going to be before you start writing, so that you go into it with some kind of a structure that you're then just fleshing out. You know, it's so much easier if you think about it that way. And then thinking about the different elements of your content and trying to get each one right and keeping in mind kind of the best practices for writing subheads, the best practices for writing a call to action, all of those things. The book is going to be set up very much like, I mean, I'm hoping people read it front to back, but I am also dreaming of people kind of keeping it on their desk as a reference piece that they sure. will then flip to, like, oh, I have to write a headline. Let me go to the headlines chapter and get some advice on, you know, I'm kind of stuck on my headline. Let me look and see what this book says about writing headlines. So they would flip it open and use it. So that's the dream, is that it becomes kind of a long-term reference piece that people keep around.
Right, right. The content marketer's Bible.
Right, something like that. Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm testing names. I have some names yeah. that I'm liking now. And right. The latest episode that has not been released yet actually talks about this process of finding a name. And it right. uses a system of finding names that is kind of based on bracket. I don't know. Do you follow like college basketball, where they do like that bracket system and the teams play each other? And then nope. I'm like so not into that. So I can't even really describe it. But it's basically a bracketing system where you have titles competing with each other, and then one wins, and then you put the winners up against each other, and you narrow it down until you have one that seems to, you know, that people seem to like consistently overall, and that's the one you go with.
Right. And, you know, what's amazing, I was reading through the chapters of your book, and by the way, you know, you were saying that they're just, quote, first drafts, but they're excellent. They're very clean first drafts.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, very, very useful. And, I was already, you know, taking a lot of mental notes. And what's extraordinary about what you're doing, and I don't know if you've already mentioned this, is that you are, if you sign up for the factory, the book factory, you get the chapters for free, and you get the final PDF at the end. So why the heck are you doing this? This is crazy, right?
I mean, I think it's a little crazy, I guess. I mean, I guess it sounds crazy. We will see, Glenn. We're going to find out if it's completely crazy. But this was, again, not an idea that came from me. It was an idea that Jeff suggested that he had seen another author do. And what I loved about it is the process of writing a book. So let's contrast it. The process of writing a blog post, you spend, you know, 3, 4, or 5 hours, depending on the post, putting together a blog post, you hit publish, you put it out there, and you start getting feedback immediately. You can see how people share it on social media, what they say about it. You can read comments and respond to comments right there on the post. There is a communal aspect to content marketing that's beautiful. It's one of my favorite aspects of content marketing.
Absolutely.
You don't get that in a book at all. So
that's right.
You're sitting there all by yourself, you know, imagining these things, and you're spending so much time yeah. putting this together, because it's just so many more words. You're spending a lot of effort putting it together.
Right.
So the idea was basically to get the initial chapters in front of people and to try to incorporate that communal aspect into the process early on.
Right.
And it really helped, it turns out, because yeah. there were things that people told me early on that I had planned to do in the book. And I did it in the first chapter I put out there, and they said, yeah, I don't really like that. So, and it was basically this, and you've seen it if you've seen the chapters, it was basically a summary that's at the end of the chapter where I was kind of just repeating what I had said in the chapter, but summarizing it. And they were saying, it just feels like you're reading it all over again, and I don't like that. So what I ended up doing is turning it into kind of a checklist and sort of, I mean, putting the information out there again, but rewriting it so it felt like I was presenting it from a fresh angle, and people didn't feel like all of a sudden they were rereading something they'd seen. So that was super helpful. And then another thing that people said early on was, I really like it when you give examples. That helps a lot for me to understand the concepts that you're talking about.
Definitely.
So I just started incorporating a lot more examples. I had a lot of fun inventing all these goofy examples for the concepts that I was trying to teach. And I would not have done that if I hadn't put the book out there. So I know there's a chance that some of the people who have signed up for the Book Factory maybe would have bought the book and now maybe will not buy the book. Personally, I don't think reading a book on a screen, on a computer screen, is very comfortable. And so I'm really kind of counting on the strength of the content in the book that people will like it enough that they'll say, you know, I want to have this in handy book form and sure. Keep it around so I can flip it open and not have to plug something in order to read it. So
yeah.
I think in the end, what I'll have gained from doing that is going to far outweigh any sales I may lose from sharing it with people. Because a book is convenient, you know, it's all in one small package, whether it's electronic or on paper, it's self-contained. And the way I'm doing it now, it's across all these different pages. And even when it's in PDF form, I do think it's going to be more convenient once it's actually in a book. So
right.
We'll see. I'll get back to you on that one.
No, I think it's a brilliant idea. And a couple things I've observed. One is you are building an email list. So, but before we talk about that, I think what's interesting is that, you know, you do have access to an enormous audience. This is something that you've acknowledged pretty explicitly, you know, on your podcast. You know, you have access to the copy blogger audience, your own audience that you've been building for many years. But you, what you're building is a community of advocates of the book and people who can eventually go on to not only buy it, but I would say way more important than just buying a copy would be leaving a review on Amazon, because as you know, that will, you know, help, you know, push it up the sales rankings and, you know, give it visibility on Amazon. And also just in general, be, you know, advocates, ambassadors for your book.
I certainly hope so. I mean, I'm kind of counting on that people who have been with me through this journey will be enthusiastic about it once the final product comes out. We'll see. I hope so. And I, in the meantime, though, I'm so grateful for the people who've read it and I mean, you've been back there, so you've seen. I mean, there are people who have spent so much time just giving these really detailed comments about chapter content and what they found useful, and some people found mistakes. And so I was able to save all the notes from all the chapters, you know, from comments on all these chapters, and present a fairly clean second draft to my editor that just went out a few weeks ago, and I just got it back from her. So it was really, having all those eyes on it made for a much better draft that I sent off to the editor as well. So I'm grateful. Honestly, if I get nothing else out of the experience of sharing the book chapters, I'll feel like I already got enough, you know?
Right. And speaking of editor, another thing that you do talk about is, and you talked about this, I think, pretty early on in the podcast, but also throughout, you know, different episodes, is, you know, the team that's helping you to produce this. So the first, you know, fundamental decision that you did discuss with Jeff was, you know, do you self-publish or do you, you know, try to send it to a traditional publisher? So so let's talk about that a little bit. You know, I understand that you are going to self-publish this or independently publish it. So, you know, how did you come about, how did you arrive at that decision? And then how are you putting it all the pieces together?
It's so interesting about that. I originally thought I wanted to send it to a publisher and work with a publisher. And partly that was just because I didn't understand the process. And when you self-publish, you really are in charge of all those steps. Now, I come to the process better educated than the average person because I'm a publication designer. So there are elements of publishing a book that I totally understand, setting up pages so that they're readable and putting together, you know, designing a final product that looks great. I can handle all that with one eye closed. Like, I have no problem with that. But the whole process of editing and then, you know, getting it up on Amazon and marketing and all of that, that was foreign to me and I had never done it before. So my original thought was, I'll go with a publishing company and I, you know, I can work with an expert. And I was talking to an agent and I sent her a proposal and within an hour she got back to me and said she wanted to represent me. So wow. I was like, oh, maybe I have something here, you know? And that was when I sort of reached out to people I knew. Jeff was one of them. I talked to Ann Hanley, you know, kind of emailed with her a little bit. One of the people I reached out to was Mitch Joel. Six Pixels of Separation, that's the thing he's most known for. But he's been published multiple times, and he was very generous. He actually got on the phone with me. One of the things that I mentioned to him when we were on the phone is that my dream for the content of this book is that it become a piece of software that we could sell at Rainmaker Digital, at the company I work for, that would help people to create their content. I don't know if that will happen, but that's kind of a dream. And he said, if you want to turn this book into something else, it's probably going to be easier if you self-publish, because then it's free and clear and you own the intellectual property and you can do whatever you want with it.
Right.
And a lot of my role at Rainmaker Digital, my official title is Executive Vice President of Educational Content. So I'm in a position where I can take content and turn it into a course, turn it into a
That's
piece
right.
of software, right? So
yep.
he said, if that's your goal, you should really just hang on to it and self-publish. That
right.
was the tipping point for me. Honestly, I'm so grateful to him because I was very confused about that and he helped me to make that decision. So that was when I went back and said to Jeff, you know, I've decided I'm going to self-publish. Do you know somebody I can work with? And that was when he sent me that short email that changed everything. So,
right.
So it was an easy decision once I understood the implications. And my feeling about it is, yes, self-publishing is more involved and there's a lot you have to learn at first. But once you know it, once you've gone through it once, you know, it's kind of like a new skill that you have, right? So the first book is probably a lot more, there's just a steeper learning curve on the first book. And then I'm expecting that future books won't be quite as bad. And I would love to do, I mean, I've really enjoyed the process and would love to do it again. So I have a feeling this will be a first book and there will be others.
Sure. And also, I mean, in terms of time to market, it'll be a lot faster.
Sure.
Right. I mean, from what I understand, I see, you know, traditionally published books, for whatever reason, take a long time to get out the door.
You have a little bit more control over the timing as well when you self-publish. You know, there are pieces of it that you can push along a little bit faster. And because you're the person who's basically doing the project management, you just have a lot more control over it. So it's nice in that respect.
So what else are you planning on, you know, what else do you need to do between now and, you know, getting it published? What's next?
Well, the book is written and it went off to a structural editor a few weeks ago. And then she sent it back to me yesterday, actually, so I sent her a Scrivener file and then she sent it back to me with notes and, you know, marked up sections and loved it overall. So that was good. I mean, you kind of sit there waiting, you know, you send it off and then you wait for the other shoe to drop the whole time that it's in the editor's hands. You have no idea what that person will say. And she came back and said, it's really great. And she said, I can tell you're a person who likes structure because the structure was actually in really good shape. So that was good to hear as well. So now the next step for me is to go in and make the changes that she suggested. I have some things that I want to add to the book. I plan to reach out to content marketers I know and ask them if they'll answer some questions, and I'll then weave those answers into the book. I still need to do that. I need to test my titles and do my little bracketing system, see if I can come up with a title that's a real winner. And I do plan to reach out. There's an illustrator I'd love to work with to illustrate certain parts of the book. So I am looking forward now, you know, once I get this, I guess it'll be like the third draft, a more finished draft. That would be what I would send to him and see if he can come up with some ideas.
What about the cover? Who's going to design the cover?
I am not sure. It'll either be, I mean, it may be a combination. If I can work with this illustrator, then I may be able to use some of his work on the cover. And I mean, I'm a publication designer. I've designed lots of book covers in my time. So
sure, I understand that.
It's hard to be your own client. So it remains to be seen whether I can design my own cover. But I would like to try to design my own cover. And that's actually one of the things that I plan to tap people in the book factory is not so much to ask them about the title of the book, because Jeff basically convinced me that it's better to ask the general public and not people who actually know your work, because you're trying to sell your book to the general public, not to people who know your work. So I'm going to go through the process of coming up with a title by doing this testing. It's a service called PickFoo, PickFoo.com, which is kind of a weird name. But anyway, that's the service I'll use to come up with the name. But then I may put the cover designs in front of the Book Factory audience and get their input, do like an online survey, something like that. So there's that. And, you know, obviously I need to design the inside pages, find a printer, figure out distribution. So there's a lot to do still. I mean, writing is really just the first step.
Right. So besides being the world's first reality book podcaster, author podcaster, whatever you call it, you're also, I mean, this book is also, in a sense, to some extent, crowdsourced. Could you say that? I mean, not entirely, obviously. I mean, it's driven by, you know, you wrote it, but, you know, you got a lot of live feedback that you're incorporating to some extent.
Yeah, I mean, crowdsourced sounds a little bit like everybody wrote it together, and it's not quite like that.
I know, that's not what I mean. You know,
yeah, no, but I would say definitely, I would say crowdsourced feedback for sure.
Right.
I got feedback from people early on that influenced the way I ended up writing the book. So definitely in that respect. And then I think we could safely say crowdsourced marketing, because I'm going to be tapping those people to see if they'll help once it comes time to launch the book. So,
right.
And I'm not sure in which way yet, but you know, that I'm hoping that, like you said, those people will be advocates for the book once it's ready to launch.
So that's really incredibly useful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Just want to just step back a little bit and ask a couple of other questions before I let you go and get to work. I know you gotta manage quite an operation there at CopyBlogger. And by the way, I just love CopyBlogger. What do you think about blogging these days and content marketing? I mean, why is content marketing so important? Why is it so powerful? And just let's step back. Maybe we don't have to get too philosophical, but you know, what's the why here? Why should people be doing this in the first place?
I think what has really changed about marketing is that marketing was kind of seen as a branch of advertising for a long time, and I think people kind of saw marketing and advertising as one and the same. So what that looked like was it was a lot of information coming at us, whether we wanted it or not, right? So direct mail postcards in our mailbox and ads in the newspaper and radio advertising and brochures that were foisted on us left and right. So it was a lot of like businesses kind of pushing their information out at all of us at every turn. And you know, people started to resent it after a while. And what changed so much is the internet came along and empowered all of us to go searching for information rather than have it foisted on us when we maybe don't even need it, right? So now the change is there's something we want to know or something we want to understand more about. We go online and we look it up and we find it. And what we're doing as content marketers is we're providing that information. It's always there. It's like I say it's like a 24/7 sales force that's there providing useful, engaging, sometimes even entertaining information for people when they need it most. And you do it in a way, and this is what I talk about in the book, is content marketing has a business purpose.
Yes.
And because it has a business purpose, it needs to have some kind of call to action, even if it's just, you know, let me know what you think about this concept in the comments. That's a call to action. That's a perfectly valid call to action.
I do that all the time.
Right. And then sometimes it's, you know, I have more on this topic. Read these posts next. Right.
Do that too. Yeah.
Right. And then sometimes it's, you know, I have an ebook. Sign up here and I'll send it to you. It's a free ebook. And then you move people onto an email list, which is a very smart way to build a relationship with them over time.
Yep.
So content marketing, in order to really be your 24/7 sales force, it needs to have that call to action that's moving people into a deeper relationship with your business. But I think it's such a smart way to market. And I look back at the early years of my career, the early decades, really, and I think about how much content I helped to produce. Beautiful content, well-designed, beautifully written, beautifully put together content that was printed on high quality paper with four colors of ink and you know, lamination and all of these fancy things, and it's all in a landfill. It's all gone, right? It's like, yeah, it's been gone for a long time. It's
right.
I think I am probably the only archaeologist that carries around a portfolio of the print pieces I created, because most of, you know, the other 15,000 that were printed, the other 14,999 samples are in a landfill, and they have been for a long time. So all of that content that I helped create early in my career is gone, but the content that I create now and that I teach people how to create is valued. You know, I mean, not all content is valuable like this, but this is the whole point of the book that I'm writing and what we do on Copyblogger is we try to help people create information that readers bookmark, they share because they like it so much, they reference back to it, they look at it when they need guidance on a topic. I mean, we try to create content that is truly, truly valuable. And that's a huge shift in marketing compared to earlier in my career, where I always felt kind of somewhat guilty about what I was doing. It's like, okay, this is beautiful, but somebody's going to throw it out any day now.
I think you wrote somewhere that you actually discovered, maybe it was on your website, that you discovered Copyblogger when you were searching for information on content marketing. So is that sort of, you know, a huge irony that, and then you ended up guest posting, guest writing for Copyblogger, then eventually you joined a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's funny. So I knew I wanted to build this online platform. I knew I wanted to do something online. I had been doing print work for a long time and I wanted to shift my career. I was just ready for something different. And I have kids. I know you have kids. I have kids who were in high school at the time. And I was looking ahead and thinking, you know, I've been a hands-on mother for many years, but pretty soon now, my kids are going to be off in the world and I'll have a little bit more time available than I've had for, you know, like 20 years. I'll have more time available now. So I was also looking to make a career shift because of that. I just knew I would have some extra time and I'd be able to learn something new. So I did start looking at options for online platforms and I happened to stumble across Copyblogger right at the time that they were about to relaunch their Teaching Sales course, which was a course that taught people how to take the knowledge they had acquired in their careers and turn it into an online course that they could then sell. So I signed up for that course. I found Copy Blogger, and like 3 weeks later, I was in that course. And I got to know the Copy Blogger staff from participating in the forum on the course. And eventually I did. I pitched them a guest post and wrote for them a few months in a row. And eventually they asked me to write once a month, which was just unbelievable to me that they would want me, the person who's not a writer, to write for them once a month. That was a huge career high. So, and I did. I joined the team a couple of years ago. I spoke at an event they had in Denver, and Brian Clark approached me and asked me the most surprising question, you know, if I wanted to join the team. And I, at that point, I hadn't worked with someone. I hadn't worked as part of a business. I'd had my own business basically for 22 years. And I said, are you sure you want to hire someone who hasn't worked for someone else for 22 years? So, but everyone on our team works virtually. So it works out really well, because if you have that entrepreneurial nature where you're able to see what you need to do and get it done, that tends to work really well in this environment. It's not an environment where there's no like micromanagement. Nobody is standing over your shoulder watching you complete your project. So it works well if you've had the entrepreneurial background.
Well, that's, that sounds like a great place to work. And I understand you're, I mean, how large is Copy Blogger or Rainmaker Digital at this point?
We have, I think it's 65 employees. So we've grown as a company, even just since I've joined. Lots of developers working on the Rainmaker platform. So that's an ongoing software platform that basically has a major improvement every single month. There's a new feature added to it, it seems like. So lots of people working on that project. And then we have Rainmaker FM, which is the podcast network. We have Studio Press, which is premium WordPress themes. And then the Copy Blogger line of business, which is where I am, which is the blog. And then it's our authority content marketing training program, which I manage. And then we also have a program for, it's called the Certified Content Marketer Program. And that's really designed for people who are already writers, who want to learn advanced content marketing skills that will help their careers, basically. And we do offer a test. And for those people who pass that test, they're able to put a certification label, certified by Copy Blogger, on their pages. And what we found is that some of them actually have ended up getting so much more business after going through the course and getting certified that, like, they can't handle the volume of business they get. So that has been a really great program as well. It's just, you know, for people who really are writers and are ready to kind of take it to the next level, it's a perfect program for them.
That sounds fantastic. So Pamela, just one more time, how should people best reach you?
Well, if they are interested in reading the book, they can go to my website, which is bigbrandsystem.com/book-factory-join. And on that page, they'll find a place that they can go and register for the website. And once they do, they'll be able to go in and read all the chapters I posted. And eventually, I will post every single chapter in the book on that Book Factory. So people can find me there, and they can also find me on Copy Blogger. I write for Copy Blogger once a week. So that's a great place to read what I write about. I do write a lot about content marketing for Copy Blogger. So, and the way it works on blogs, I'm sure your listeners know this, but you click on an author's name and then you can go and see everything that person has written for that site. And at this point, there are pages and pages of posts that I've written for Copy Blogger. So they could they could be reading for a long time if they do that.
And how many of those articles has Google indexed?
Oh my gosh, I think all of them, honestly, because you...
Wow.
You know, yeah, it's, I mean, really, it's pretty easy. I'm doing that all the time. I'm always going in and checking the Copy Blogger archives for something. And sometimes I don't even remember the exact headline I wrote. So you just kind of write the topic and it seems to be able to find it.
That's great, Pamela. And also, just one more time, it's zero to book. .fm. Is that right? That'll take you to your podcast?
Yes. That's a great way to go directly to the podcast page.
Right. That's fantastic. I love the podcast. And definitely looking forward to the book, which I'm already reading, thanks to you. And I'm going to be recommending it left and right. So, Pamela, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Glenn. This has been so much fun. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Pamela. You really should check out her podcast with Jeff Goins and definitely take a peek at her new book, which you can read before she even uploads it to Amazon. And remember to join my newsletter where you can be the first to know about my latest articles and podcast episodes. Just head over to writewithimpact.com/episode48. Thanks for listening and keep writing, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Write With Impact, but the learning doesn't end here. Check out our website at writewithimpact.com/gift to get your free copy of the most effective strategies to improve your writing. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you in the next episode.